Yesterday, Hanau started to ship for pre-order. Isn't that right, Uwe?
Yes, Hanau. It was funny. Yesterday, a guy went in the store and there was the DVD already. He wanted to buy it. And the guy said, no, Friday, we can sell it to you. And then he asked him, okay, but why is that in the store then? He said, there was a mistake. So street sales are Friday. And what we also decided is for the USA and everything. So if I don't get another deal within the next like 3-4 weeks, we will just put it in the USA up on Amazon and iTunes ourselves. Yes. And like Google Play and YouTube for money and etc. So Michael Rush, my friend, can put it up there. So. I mean, all based on we're not having the Third World War and our toast. Then we will put it up. Otherwise,
We're living in some pretty tough times. A lot of stuff has happened this week. It looks like Russia has a 40-mile train line of soldiers going into the Ukraine. But I was reading that the train line has stopped because the people, the Russians, are having a hard time feeding their soldiers and the logistics weren't well thought out or something like that?
Yes, there were like a lot of tanks abandoned because they had no more fuel. And I mean, it's the most idiotic way to attack a city. They want to circle Kiev, basically, the main city of Ukraine. But if you have basically a 40 kilometers or 50, 60 miles or 40 miles like stuck traffic situation, because that is what it is. Think about one tank has to stop, what that means for the other 39 miles behind the truck. It's a total disaster. Yeah, but that is what it is. So if the Ukraine would have a good air defense, what they don't, they could get rid of the Russians in a day. You just need like 50... not even 50, you need like 20 of the stealth bombers of the or the F-14, whatever, to just fly over them and bomb them to shit. And that would be it. So
what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that it's eventual that Ukraine will be taken over by Russia? I was reading this morning that most of the major cities are being under siege this morning.
Yes. So, I mean, that is how it looks like. Today are also negotiations going again. Between both, but I mean, Putin cannot accept that he retreats or will be defeated or whatever. He just cannot do that without losing his face for his own population. So he will just keep going, and he will take Ukraine in the end, right? But what is then what you have? I mean, you have a bombed out country where millions of people run away from already, refugees everywhere. And then you have a civil war going on because the 30 million Ukrainians left in the country will not like just obey and have the greatest time ever under a Russian occupation. I mean, it's obvious that they will have, you know, that there will be problems. And I don't know what Putin thinks will happen in the Ukraine then. I mean, I can imagine he wants to defeat them and he wants that they say we give up. But okay, but what then? I mean, then you how you want to hold the Ukraine in that kind of ironclad situation without ever being threatened yourself for like this kind of partisan war, like the IRA did that in Ireland in the 70s and 80s and stuff like this, you know, where the people fighting against the government and nonstop. So that is the thing. It's like I said yesterday in my German podcast, I said, if you really analyze it logic, then the Ukraine should give up. So, but because that sounds like a catastrophic idea, but Putin said he would remove his troops if they officially give them the two Russian two Russian little states here in the South Ukraine, if they officially accept that he has Crimea, what he has already since 2014, but it's enacted, so it's not like officially part of Russia. So they want that they accept that he can take it and name it Russia. And
I think also what that they're pissed off about is that Russia is claiming somebody else's country as their own. Russia is the one that annexed it. So like that's like me going to Canada and saying, hey, I really like Montreal. Montreal's annexed from Canada, and I'm going to go help them now, and I'm going to take over. You know, it's like it's not his fucking place.
No, but if you say, you know how many times Montreal tried to be French on their own? I mean, it's fact, right, that they have the Quebecans party who wants to have their own French state inside of Canada. And they voted for it various times, but they always lost the votes because, of course, it would be like having a major negative effect for people living in Montreal in general.
Yeah, but, no, I went to Montreal. I mean, this is off subject, and there's some people who hate Americans there.
For sure. No, but if you know, Puerto Rico, whatever, like, you know, or you say Cuba is now American, you know, but yes, that it's all how you twist and turn it. It's a loss-loss situation.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody can win. Because here's the reality. Putin, even if he wins the war, he's then stuck with all the sanctions forever. Russia goes bankrupt. And nobody can travel from Russia. They're out of any sports competitions, out of any entertainment thing. Apple stopped selling. VW stopped selling. I mean, tons of worldwide known companies will not provide more product into Russia at all. So
happening is like people like movies being boycotted. People are
movies are stopped. Co-productions are stopped. Netflix stopped already any kind of Russian production. They were big in Russia. There were big Russian production already paid by Netflix. It's all over. And I mean, you can go through it, and then within 6 months, people cannot access any more money, and they also don't access a lot of food imports. You know, they have already like problems there in their supermarkets to have the products, and all of this is stopped.
What do you think? Do you think Russia's going to go to China for help?
Yeah, of course, they totally go to China, and I read today. I think it was in the New York Times that China asked them not to invade the Ukraine before the Olympics are over. And that was the reason that they waited so long.
Oh,
remember
God,
they waited really? So long on the border? Yeah, because they follow little dog Chinese orders. I mean, Russia knows China is their only hope to have any contact to the outside world now. After
well, people need to understand and remember how big fucking China is. We as Americans, or in your case in Germany, we don't live in China, but China is a huge fucking place with a lot of people. And Russia having China's partnership is more than sustainable if China wants to play ball. So that's interesting to see. You know, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, China. But I think China is always only about themselves, right? So China will use Russia as long as they can buy shit from them. And then they just dump them.
But China is fucking pissed at the US after all those Trump sanctions, I'm sure.
Yeah. And I mean, that would be, for example, a good government if we now, in a way, trying to have a good relationship to China right now. Because China are the only people, I think, who can convince Putin to stop the whole madness.
I agree with that.
Because when China says, you know what, we also don't buy your shit. The businesses with the Europeans and the North Americans are way bigger as our business with Russia. And now we just don't want to come in a huge sanction fight with them again. So you need to stop doing whatever you're doing. Who gives a shit about the Ukraine on the worldwide scale? Like nobody. Yep. So, I mean, it is a very cynical power play game, what's happening right now. And I'm feeling very sad for the Ukrainians. But, I mean, for example, the German weapons came in there yesterday. They had photos and videos from the, I think German gave them like 1,000 bazookas and Stinger rackets, you know, like the things you shoot down airplanes with. I think 150 of that rackets, and they came into Kiev. So I don't know how they did that. Maybe it was a truck what doesn't look military, you know, like loaded up in an ice cream truck or something. But I mean, I think the Russian will start closing that loophole soon, that you can reach with a truck basically the middle of Ukraine. I don't think that situation will be next week. Well, that situation is over. So right now, so what they have? They have still a function, like an army ready to fight the Russians. Okay. And they're getting a lot of weapons. They're getting a lot of money from the West. But all of this can stop next week.
Yeah.
You know? And then when it stops, what will happen then? Then they're starving. They don't sleep. They starve. The Russians will shut the electricity off. All that shit will happen. And if I would be the president of Ukraine, I would really do that negotiations with the Russians in a way like I need to save lives. I don't want that they bomb all the cities into rubble and that I have instead of, I think right now are maybe only 10,000 Ukrainians dead, what is already high, but it looks like around 10,000 dead total. I don't want 250,000 Ukrainians dead and then I give up. I mean, because that is here the option, right? I mean, they have no fucking chance. If the West doesn't help them with soldiers and is going on their side, make them part of the NATO right now, then they will lose that war. And the problem is, of course, the West will not do that. They said it, they will not do it. They're not part of the NATO, and the West doesn't want to trigger a third world war. So nobody will help the Ukrainian army. And at one point, it doesn't help you if you are the only soldier left, but you have still 100 bazookas. I mean, it doesn't help you to have all that weapons if you're toast, if you're like done, right? So, and I mean, that is what I mean.
We definitely need to put human life at the paramount of what's going on, because at the end of the day, a lot of these people are pretty innocent. They're not involved with military and they're just scared, confused families, you know? So I really hope that Russia doesn't go in and try and punish their brother state, because this is basically like brother versus brother, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, up to the 1990s, Ukraine was part of Russia. And then it was in between part of all kinds of other countries, like over the thousands of years, they were like Genghis Khan was there, but Genghis Khan was Russian too. So you have all that kind of invasions. The Germans were there two times in two world wars. They took Ukraine. And then there were always this kind of country, what was an in-between state, what got swallowed up and then spit out, and then they want to be independent, but then there were too many Russians living there, then they couldn't be independent, then came the World War, then the Russians took them after the Lenin took over, after the October Revolution, and. So it is a state they are used to being part of another state. And yes, it's a huge crime what's going on. It's a huge crime. But I'm just thinking now loud as I'm Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine. And if I'm Zelensky, I would say, look, we can be heroic, like we're pulling here the Alamo, but at the Alamo, they were all dead in the end. And the Mexicans killed them all, right? So, I mean, David Croquette and Jim Bowie and whatever, right? So, I mean, we all watched the Alamo film with John Wayne and we all know what the Alamo was. So, and that is not an option. Yeah. I, as the president, would try to save my infrastructure because the Russians bombing more and more bigger buildings, right? So they're going for like destroying all the infrastructure. I don't want to rebuild all my infrastructure. I don't want that by accident a nuclear plant blows up. I don't want that another 200,000-300,000 Ukrainians die. So I would take that negotiations with Putin very, very serious. And I would maybe take that deal, what Putin put up 1 or 2 days ago.
Huh.
I mean, who gives a shit? You give 20% of your country away to the Russians, basically. And you call it a day. And the Russians say the other thing is that they are not, they cannot be part of the NATO. No nuclear weapons can be stationed in Ukraine. Okay, I think that is in interest of everybody, basically. And
if they are a free state, if the Ukraine is free, then they should be able to choose if they want to be, if that's what they want. So Russia can't just say, hey, you're now penalized from this. I think that Russia is asking for a little bit too much. Like, if it was just the states, then maybe, but asking for the NATO thing, it's one or the other. You know what I mean? One or the other. Too much.
No, I know, but now think about how many times Putin broke his word, right? So why you shouldn't? I mean, you know, so I'm still the Ukrainian president. I say, okay, take that Russian occupied territories in the south. Crimea is yours. You already occupied it, so there's no fighting necessary. And yes, we will be not part of the NATO. Here's my signature. Right? So now Putin removes all the troops. Peace comes back. They rebuild all the, there are already a million refugees from Ukraine streaming into the Euro. So now the refugees can come back. Everything calms down. The West gives Ukraine shitloads of money to rebuild all the crap, right? So now Ukraine makes another election in 2 or 3 years. Putin gets older. Maybe he is not the president of Russia anymore. And then they're getting part of the EU because they can get part of the EU without being part of the NATO. But then they're already part of the EU. So they're in the European Parliament and. Then you have to play the long game to get what you want.
Yeah, I think that sounds great, but I bet you Putin would try to get corrupt politicians in power in the Ukraine and just make it appear like there was reform, when in reality...
No, I know, but that is why I say the existing president from Ukraine should take the deal what is on the table, because next week that deal is not on the table anymore. When he just drives through Kiev, and Kiev is fallen, what is that? There is no more government existing. Yeah. Then you have Zelensky, hopefully he gets him out of the country, or he will be put in jail. And then
the alternative is death, basically. That's what you're saying.
You know, he runs away from Ukraine, what he hopefully is doing before they close in on him. And, you know, but right now, today are negotiations. So the main question for me is, why not accepting these terms and saying to Putin, okay, but we need an immediate ceasefire and an immediate retreat of the Russian troops back to the three territories and back to Russia, of course, right away.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because then he can, then Putin cannot put a puppet in the government because he's the biggest hero of all times. The Zelensky guy. So he will be then like celebrated. It's peace. Nobody shoots anymore. And then they could agree to blue helmet troops, like basically an international army corps is protecting that there is no more fighting. And then you can get the NATO troops in. You know, I mean, the NATO troops with the blue helmets, they were everywhere. In Rwanda, in Sudan, so Mali. So you have a lot of blue helmet things, mostly in Africa. But you could say, okay, here comes now international military in to protect both sides that there is no more, like, fighting on the way out, basically. And then Putin cannot put his puppet in. How?
Do you know what I think we have is, like, Russia is, at least Putin anyway, is obsessed with the past, the way Russia used to be. I mean, the way they were during the Soviet Union. And Putin is hellbent and fixated on going back to the way things used to be. Now, they're very headstrong and they've got a numbers advantage. Ukraine is also very proud of their heritage and their individual state. And I believe that Ukraine believes that all the advances that they've made in the past century would be erased if they made any concessions. So both of them are trying to play the hard line. And I wonder how it will play out.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. I mean, we're basically all in the dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, we are discussing flying to Canada. No? So, because it's like, I mean, I'm not like right now saying that we fly. I mean, we have a lot of things to do here and Walter's in school
like
here.
You mean to move to Canada? Like you're going to move away from
No, but there. I don't have to move back. I mean, we have our house there.
I know you still have
that. I just can fly back to Canada with the family and wait it out there. You know, I mean, it's because don't forget one thing. Like the first, if Putin loses completely his shit, his middle range rackets could fly easily into Germany, into France, into Italy, you know, and I don't want to be then here. Basically, and then we all know when they're already in the air, then it will be tough to get away from here, you know. So, I mean, I will watch very carefully the next 1 or 2 weeks what's going on. And then, I mean, I'm 20 minutes away from the Frankfurt airport, right? So, there are every day 3 machines going to Vancouver. So, you know, so I mean, I could just buy and leave. I mean, it's we have to pull water off school and stuff. It's not an easy decision. It's also not planned. Planned is that our other kids, the other two who live in Canada, coming end of next week for our spring break here. That is what the plan is. That is what the flights booking are. And I mean, I'm not thinking that Putin really is losing his shit and starts World War III. But you can never take anything off the map in a situation like this, you know? So, I mean, anything can happen. Like, if he loses his... If he thinks, like, if he doesn't win that war now big, he will get, like, chased through the streets in Moscow and hanged, then who knows what he's doing?
Yeah,
I mean, no,
it's completely unpredictable. You know? Here, but let's shift tone for 1 second. I want to ask you if you what your thoughts are on Biden gave his presidential address, and what was it? Was it Marjorie Taylor Greene and the other chick interrupted him? Two Republicans interrupted him during the State of the Union address, yelled at him, and then started chanting "Build the Wall" during his. Did you hear this?
No, I know, but because the problem is that now in Congress, and there are some completely people, they are QAnon people, they're completely out of their minds, and they turning. I see now the positive thing of the State of the Union. The positive thing is that you could see that a lot of Republicans were at least unified now that the Russians doing the crime, that we're all united against the Russians. And they gave him a few times a little standing ovation for it, what he said, that he freezes their assets. And I think that is enormous important that we the EU, who was always fighting about every fucking rule, is all together now, all together. There is not one country in the EU. You remember Hungary and Poland, they all got right corner governments. They're all together with Italy, with Spain, Portugal, Germany, France, Holland, Austria, everybody, including the British, are so we in unity. Full solidarity with Ukraine.
Good.
You know, that is important. And I think that is important also that America is not half and half. You know, that half of America wants to build the wall, throw any Mexican worker out, and is basically out of their fucking minds. And doesn't think Putin is a great guy and Kim Il-sung is a great guy. You know, they shouldn't forget, like, that people ordered the killing of various hundreds and thousands of people in their lifetime, and maybe even killed people themselves. And I don't know if you, on the long term, want to be like friends or together with this kind of mentality around you, because it affects you. You know, it's like being the biggest fan of El Chapo and just doing all the businesses with him when he was still in power, and or you know, it's like it's tainting yourself and your soul. And I was very happy yesterday about that. That the official committee said Trump is guilty of trying to overturn the elections on January 6th and guilty of a revolt, basically. You know, and I hope
he broke multiple laws.
But I know, and we know with Trump, he always is like he's like a worm, like a snake, getting out of any situation. And I really hope that this time it was just too much. I really hope that they really
fucking be president.
Charge him and arrest him and his whole fucking family. Arrest him and put him on hold because he's a flight risk, that he wants to escape to Moscow to his best buddies. So, and then put him in fucking jail. And then when he sits there for 6 months and cannot have his spray tan anymore, then he will change his whole opinion about his life. So he needs to, the main point is he needs to get away out of politics. You know, he just has to dissolve. And then we need a real politician who is not completely out of his fucking mind, ruling, running the Republican Party. You know, I mean, think about how good George Bush was. What?
Yeah. I said they need to get their ethics back. That's true.
Exactly. And think about George Bush Senior or even George Bush Junior. But they had ethics, right? They had like a moral. They were lying about the Iraq and whatsoever, 100%. But they were not like smoothing up to mass murderers and destroying all connections to Europe. I mean, during the Trump administrations, his relationships to Europe were on a standstill. because everybody in Europe thought he's a total like a child. He's a total idiot who has no clue from the individual subject matters. He was never, and he was famous for it, right? Saying it even, that he never read anything about anything, you know? They whatever, here you fly to Europe, don't forget the agenda. Here's the agenda, 50 pages, right? And then the agenda was in the old paper garbage bag before he even looked into it. He gave a shit. He was bringing his agenda to everybody. Every single time, wherever he went, his agenda was, you know, and it was so bad. I mean, it was really the darkest time of American democracy since America was founded. That was and Donald Trump.
People can say what they want about the Bushes, and I'm not even a Republican, but I think that the Bush family deeply understands the Constitution, that they love their country, and whether or not I agree with their politics or not, They had a backbone, they had a moral decency, and they played by the rules, trying to break the rules down so that you get what you want is destructive to future generations, and Trump is careless and fucking thoughtless at how brazen he is and how eager he is to destroy societal norms just so he can get his way. And the Bushes, you're right, never did fucking that. And I think that the next person in power needs to be, you're right, a smart person. We need to stop this cult of personality where charisma and, you know, names and all that shit is more important than their actual, is this person a good human being? You know, that's the core value. Is this person a good human being? Trump is not. And if the Republicans want to save their fucking party, they need to really think hard about what's truly right. And I don't mean anything religious. I just mean actual this division and the where we've gone in the United States is fucking so disheartening and frightening that I have friends who want to leave here, you know, even though nobody's being attacked. So things need to change.
No, totally. I 100% agree. And it is, and that is the thing what a lot of people don't have, that people don't have empathy anymore. All that QAnon people or the Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever, or the here from Alaska, who was almost vice president. Oh, my phone is ringing. Sorry, wait 1 second.
It's okay.
Hallo, Paul. Uwe Ballraum USA. We'll be at Uwe Ballraum USA. We'll be right back. Uwe Ball is on the phone. 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 Motherfucker, 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 motherfucker.
That was a two-door for schoolwork for Walter, because as I said before, Walter had some problems with the German language and all that stuff, and he needs just additional support here in school with all the shutdowns. He didn't have the chance to, in that 1.5 years now, learning German perfectly. So, yeah, that is a totally different subject matter. But we were basically that the people don't have empathy, right? So that they're heartless and they give a shit. And that is, they're so fanatic about things that they make that situation made them give a shit. And I had I watched a YouTube video from TED Talks about the guy was talking 20 minutes about basically depressions. And the interesting stuff was that he thinks, or not only him, but the science is that around 38% of the people today feel lonely, like lonely, lonely. Even if they work or have contact to people, or because, and he said, and that is the horrific thing is that it looks like that is the result of all the social media. You know, that people have more, they pay more attention to their social media likes and the TikToks and Instagrams and whatsoever as to real human contact. And that
Yeah.
makes everybody, I mean, we're living in a world where people taking anxiety pills left and right. And you know, we talked about it before that I had like an anxiety problem too. Now I calmed it down, and I hope I can get completely rid of it, that I'm not taking in any more like antidepressiva pills or whatever. But it's mostly because people feel like not connected, but it's themselves disconnecting. You know,
Yeah, well,
that is the key,
it's kind
that
of a
is the problem.
contradiction. The internet is a
Yes.
contradiction in the fact that we're all connected with one another, but we're completely isolated from one another at the
Yes.
same
Yes.
time. And
Yes.
the when we read words and when we interpret stuff on the internet, we're interpreting it in our way. The person who's putting it out there may or may not have intended it to be interpreted in that way. So we're constantly hitting walls, assuming things about each other, and I think it hypes up paranoia. I think because we're constantly trying to understand every little thing that's coming our way, it creates this kind of like constant indecision and constant disconnect that makes us contentious, makes us more I don't know, cynical, but without the connection that these are other real human people, we become careless in how destructive the energy that we put out there is. Like,
Yeah.
I think that if people are making fun of a movie or some fucking dumb performance, that's totally fine. But there are some people out there who will like, who are such devoted characters to their favorite brand, or to their like favorite corporation or video game or whatever meaningless shit, that they'll get into serious heartfelt arguments and start clipping away at the other person, taking horrible personal shots over meaningless shit. Meanwhile, in the world, actual bad shit is going on, and nobody wants to pay any attention to that because it's so hard. And I get it, because right now we're living in this fucking fucked up time where everybody wants to escape. But now that we are leaning so heavily into pop culture as an escape, people are losing their minds. People are losing their humanity. People are losing their perception. The internet is just in too much excess can be destructive to the soul, basically.
No, and I know people that cannot sleep, but they also cannot switch the fucking phone off. And
Yeah.
then they and then they and then they're totally, let's say, surprised that they cannot sleep. If the whole night they have that addicted feeling, I should look, I should look. Maybe something came in, maybe something came in. Right? That is one of the first things I completely changed. Like, my phone stays in my office, and around 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening, I switch my computer and my phone off, finished, over, right? And this was one it was easy thing, but my wife is not able to do it because, oh, maybe Angelina wants to reach, whatever, right? You always have an excuse, but the reality is all that stuff drags you down. It's also in the evening anymore. I'm not watching that what we're talking about here in news. I'm not watching anymore after 8 p.m. I'm not doing it. I watch some easy peasy show. I can, you know, I can enjoy whatever Larry David or watch Bill Maher or watch whatever I watch, but I don't watch real politics anymore. What rails me up, especially we came out of the Corona shies side, you know, like out of the shitty time with Corona, and now we're moving in the shitty time with the Ukraine conflict. It's like it's a never stopping crap time.
Yeah.
You know, well, no. First you were like totally limited in your social behaviors and totally limited how you, where you can travel and what you can do. And now we're totally limited in regards of having the fear to piss off a completely under drug standing mental ill Putin, not to destroy the fucking world. I mean, no, think about that. Yeah, you know, I tweeted, I don't know if you saw it, with the Don't Look Up, the film where we talked about, sing about Don't Look Up, and now it's like Don't Look East. It's like, you know, it's like, it's almost the same situation. In Don't Look Up, nobody recognized that there is a fucking mega planet falling on Earth and kills us all, and everybody tried to ignore it. They couldn't handle it. And now we have a situation where if we don't offer anything to Putin, we're running him into the ground, then we maybe have a delayed Third World War. Because think about the other variation. He defeats now Ukraine. He is in Ukraine. But we never lift any sanction. Then the Russian people and Putin and everybody will go to shit. Like, it's not a rich country, right? You have, like, in Moscow and St. Petersburg, you have Gucci and Versace and Apple and Samsung. But look on the land map. Russia is the biggest land in the world, like, size-wise, right? And 90% of that land are people, they barely have water. They barely have cell phone connection. So they forget all of them. But all of, because they don't even see a difference between now and in 5 years, they're living their shitty lives, basically, or maybe their happy lives in retrospective. But the middle class who developed in Moscow, who developed in St. Petersburg, the people that make 100, 200,000 bucks a year working for Apple, Netflix, Amazon in Russia, they lose all their jobs now. All of them. So, you know, VW has a plant in Russia. They shut them down. Like, they're making VWs in Russia, and they said it's over. So think about that on a big scale. Russia is fucked. Like, they're completely fucked. So, but the problem is, then you have somebody who has the red button in his hand. You know? And yeah. I don't think we can handle it this way with if the threat is so big. That is my biggest problem. My biggest problem is that uncalculated risk we having. And look, you watched so many films. I watched so many films from Scarface to whatever. It's, you know, people can do collateral damage. Not everybody acts reasonable or logical.
Yeah,
there are people flipping out. And I mean, and that is my biggest fear. That is my biggest fear. I mean, too bad for the Ukrainian people. I'm very sad for them. But that's nobody of us is fearful that Russia wins against Ukraine. It's basically real. It's like that is what happens, you know. And
well, you know, if Putin figures out that the response to this is, you know, in his favor, then he's going to use the red button as an excuse for everything, because he'll realize that is how he gets his way. So that's why I think that we can't entirely give in to his demand. And
no, we can't, but we have to give him also an exit. We also have to give him the chance to not lose all Russians behind him. You know, we have to give him the chance that he still can, that he can still rule Russia, and we have to give him the chance that some sanctions getting lifted after the army is completely gone out of Ukraine, besides the one
so
or two territories.
You want to say that you want him to have kind of like a comfortable exit strategy, as opposed to Putin thinking that the alternative is him being destroyed. You know, I get it.
Yes, and that is the thing. It's like, this is what I mean. It's like when you lower the expectations, and right now the Russians are already suffering, right? And Moscow is total chaos. So because they cannot take more, whatever, money out of the money machines and so on. So people losing their job right now. And I think if they come to terms a lot of Russians will also be just happy that it's over, even if it looks like a loss. You know, at one point you have to say, I give a shit what happens in Ukraine. I want my job back. I want that VW reopens the manufacturing plant. And if I get that only, if I retreat out of Ukraine, then I want to do this. And that is how Putin could keep his head up, right? How could he, in saying, look, I did the best for the Russian people. I moved away so that a lot of the sanctions could get lifted. So, for example, today was it's interesting, the UN, 141 countries in the UN voted pro a resolution saying that Russia is doing war crimes and Russia is illegal attacking Ukraine. And there were only four countries who voted against that vote. And that was Eritrea, very small country in Africa, North Korea, of course, Kim. Syria, because of Assad, because Putin helped him to win the fightings there, right? And then only then Belarus, like his buddy from next door, basically the white Russian. So, but China and everywhere, China, Mongolia, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, South Sudan, Algeria, Mali, Peru, Bolivia, Brazil, they all voted with no vote. You know, they didn't say Russia are gangsters and they didn't say they're not gangsters. So, and I think that China stayed neutral is a good sign for us. Because that is a crystal clear sign from China that they will not get involved in anything. And that means also they will not help Russia more as they would deal with them without any sanctions. And I think that is a good sign. You know,
I
that
hope
is that's
that
a good sign.
I'm really curious to see where this all heads. It's been a crazy week. And anything else before we close out for the
No.
episode? Okay.
No, I think we should close out and I wish you all the best. And then we talk soon. So,
Everybody out there, please go to uvaballrawusa.com if you want to add Uwe Boll on Twitter. His Twitter ID is uvaball7, and you can see me on Twitter as well if you want to add me. I'm going to make a Twitter for the show, I think, officially, as like a hub for Uwe Boll Raw USA and the YouTube show, and maybe we'll make another YouTube video soon because it's been so long. But in any case, I wish you well, Uwe Boll, and everybody out there, have a great day. Thank you so
you
much.
too. Stay healthy. Bye. Bye bye bye.
Bye, and later. USA is the best show in the world. We've got great hosts like director Uwe Boll and Gary Otto's here too. You are gonna tune in to Uwe Boll Raw USA. You're gonna post it on your timeline, on your social media, because he says you support totally awesome podcast shows like us. And if you don't, you suck. Uwe Boll Raw USA, your world raw, raw. Uwe Boll Raw USA is the best show in the world. We've got great hosts like director Uwe Boll and Gary Otto's here too. You are gonna tune in to Uwe Boll Raw USA, 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 USA.